morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, March 19th, 2010. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
The Columbia River crossing cabal met behind closed doors yesterday. So much easier than inviting the troublesome public in.
Yeah, public oversight doesn't sit very well with the Portland police either. Something about accountability and transparency just is not right.
And Trey Arrow is back with us, bringing music to the movement and talking a bit about life behind bars for a free spirit more at home in treetops.
Portland area weather today, fabulous again. Sunny, high near 65. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 41. And beautiful again tomorrow, but then the rain comes back for 2 or 3 days.
And first we're going to run briskly through a few headlines, mostly regional in nature. The real authority of the Independent Police Review Division has been a cause for laughter, tears, and outrage since its inception. But the outrage was at the forefront when the City Council aired an ordinance drafted to potentially strengthen Portland police oversight by broadening the authority of the gutless review board. Until the power of the Portland Police Union is seriously challenged, though, no citizen has a say. No citizen is safe.
Portland and Vancouver political leaders let reporters and the public know they were not welcome at yesterday's Columbia River crossing meeting. Behind closed doors, the project's sponsors, lawyers, and legislators worked out their differences without the inconvenience of public input. Clark County Commissioner Steve Stewart speaks for us all, quote, "It is an important discussion, and the public has a right to be in on it."
Stewart made a mistake. He invited a reporter and was immediately shouted down. Green energy projects got a sharp taste of reform yesterday. Governor Ted Kulongoski signed laws that shut down the tap on tax subsidies for so-called green energy projects. Widespread abuse of the tax breaks and serious overuse of the word sustainable were costing Oregon's general fund millions. The reforms should save us about $140 million over the next 3 years and in no way impede green ventures.
The $20 million cycles versus sewers scrum continues. The Portland Utility Review Board rejected a proposed 7% hike in sewer rates this year. The board took issue with the decision by City Council to spend the money on so-called green street features.
In January, Ashland City Councilman Eric Navix and far out local residents sued the Forest Service over plans to conduct so-called thinning and prescribed burning on nearly 8,000 acres to reduce wildfire risks. Turns out, though, that the Ashland City Council itself will not be joining the U.S. Forest Service as a defendant in this suit. Not that the council wouldn't like to. They just don't, quote, have the needed expertise in environmental law, close quotes. Well, then what are they doing on the council?
Middle school is a minefield. Truancy, illiteracy, drugs, legal and illegal, thongs and obesity. And now this. West Sylvan Middle School principal Allison Couch says classes would end, middle schoolers would eye a classmate at the other end of the hallway. They'd scream, run down the hallway, and jump in each other's arms. The out-of-control hugging has been banned. Hugging. Bad.
Hurry up and wait is the word for veterans and the film industry. Turns out that Oregon veterans are waiting longer for disability benefits than veterans elsewhere. Local medical centers fail to schedule and report the required medical exams. Delays of 6 months for exams that were supposed to be scheduled within 3 days are simply par for the course now.
The final version of Barack Obama's health care overhaul bill is on the table, with a House vote planned for Sunday. Mainstream media lists the mainline features: cost, how many people will be covered, what's the insurance mandate, what about insurance market reforms, expanded Medicaid, taxes, prescription drugs, employer responsibility, tax credits for purchasing insurance, the question of choice, abortion, so it goes. Ironic that the caring for the ill and disabled is crippled by racism, bigotry, and fear.
That's really what it comes down to. Now the gloves are off. This is racism. A lot of people in this country are not happy that Barack Obama is president. Well, why are we still allowing ourselves to be hypnotized by terror? In Chicago yesterday, the latest celebrity suspect, David Coleman Headley, pleaded guilty to laying the groundwork for the massacre in Mumbai and performing similar surveillance in anticipation of an attack on a Danish newspaper. Then, of course, we have Jihad Jane and all the rest. It's become an industry now. It's terrortainment.
Hmm.
And no. Triero is back with us on the Friday, bringing music to the movement. Activism has a heartbeat, and it's people such as Triero, Dave Rovics, and others who bring that beat to life. Before we hear some music, though, I've been thinking since last week about what it must be like to believe in something so much that you're willing to lay down your freedom for your beliefs, to care so deeply, to be so deeply connected with the earth as to literally put your life on the line for it. We ask ourselves that around the station a lot. I ask, we discuss it in groups of friends. What would it take? What would push us to the line where we were willing to actually put ourselves in a position of having our freedoms taken away, being in an environment that is inherently dangerous and designed in every tiny detail to crush the human spirit. And yet, someone like Triero emerges from that experience alive, stronger, more deeply committed to preserving what we have left of the environment. It's I just wanted, what was that like? We all try to imagine what it would take. So I'm going to ask you that. Like, what was it that, what did you see, what did you feel that gave you the strength to face this horror?
I think that it's, I definitely have an amazing amount of support, and I know that really helped significantly. And there were times that, it was the most riveting thing that I've ever gone through, and certainly some of the most challenging mental and emotional roller coasters that I've been on. I mean, the whole prison system is set up like a psychological warfare. And so there's prisoners against prisoners, there's guards against prisoners, and a lot of times there's no refuge, and there's no place to go for safety or for protection. Because one, as a prisoner, can't go to the guards and ask for protection, because that's being a snitch. And a lot of times it's, for me, it was other prisoners coming after me for one reason or another. And really, I really just had to call upon, like, my deep spiritual connection to the earth and to a higher power to really maintain a certain element of sanity and literally protection. I mean, by all means, there could have been far worse situations that I could have been put in, or even the situations that I was placed in could have ended up much differently and much worse. And I really know that my deep connection to a higher spiritual kind of protection, and also to the earth, and also a connection to friends and family who were sending a lot of love and positive energy really made a difference. And there were many, I was incarcerated for almost 6 years, and there was a lot of that time that I didn't have access to any music at all. And music really helps to feed my soul. And so there were times where I would be able to hear a little bit on the radio or a little bit from like another cell somewhere. And it would just kind of feed my soul a bit. And then when the last place that I was at in Hurlong, California, in federal prisons, they have to, I guess they don't have to, yet they do provide a lot, many more opportunities to access like the arts and certainly like religious and spiritual expression and stuff. And so I was able to play the guitar at Hurlong. I was able to actually, they even have band rooms where they have instruments that people can play and form bands and practice and all that. So is as dysfunctional and as oppressive as it is at times, at least some of the places offer a little bit of access to things for creative expression and certainly for some kind of like healthy healing, mental and emotional outlets.
Another question that occurred to me this week, how did it affect your perception of time and space? Because really prison is about time and space.
Mm-hmm.
The time must go must change or go slowly, or space, because it's so constricted.
It is kind of a, it can have a sense of being in a kind of a time capsule, actually. My experience wasn't that time dragged on, ironically, and so I'm grateful for that. You know, when I think about the amount of time that I spent in prison, it doesn't feel like almost 6 years. It feels less than that. So I'm grateful for that. And then a lot of things, the weird thing is like, you know, things stay relatively the same in prison. There's a lot of conformity and uniformity. And yet the outside world, all these advances are continuing, more destruction, more pollution, more, you know, cell phones and now iPods and now, you know, all kinds of different things that, I mean, cell phones were in existence before that, but like the whole, I mean, a lot of like the texting whole thing has just, I was hearing it on the radio and stuff like that. That is like a relatively newer thing since I was incarcerated. And so it's kind of interesting to come out of prison and then see how the outside world has continued to, like, move, whether it's evolve or devolve, however you want to look at it. And whereas I feel kind of the same. So on some level, it actually works to my advantage that I've been able to maintain a little sense of youth, you know.
Yeah, you beat the system.
Well, let me play a song that we put together, actually, while I was at Hurlong, and it's called Rise Up.
Time it is now for the people to rise up. The time it is now for the people to rise up. The time it is now for the people to rise up. Show them how they can no longer divide us. Mother Earth could open up and speak. I wonder what she'd say to you and me. I do believe she already has spoken, but it seems to me not many have awoken. That's why the time is now for the people to rise up. The time is now for the people to rise up. The time is now for the people to rise up. Show them how they can no longer divide us.
Beautiful. Truth and music. Do you want to just say a couple words about what's going on tomorrow, too?
Yeah, well, I just want to wish everyone a blessed equinox this Saturday. I think the official time's around 10:30. Lots of wonderful coming-to-life spring gatherings, lovemaking, all that good stuff. And there's also, if folks are interested, the Peace and Justice Works Iraq Affinity Group there, if you want to check it out, it's pjw.info. That's P as in peace, J as in justice, W as in works, .info. There's a big rally, you know, commemorating, unfortunately, 7 years of occupation in Iraq and also calling for the end of occupation in Afghanistan and Palestine. And that's this Saturday, the big rally at Terry Shrunk Plaza. Folks probably know where that is, Southwest 3rd and Madison. That starts at noon, and then following a teach-in at the First Unitarian Church up on Southwest 12th and Main at 1 o'clock. So if anybody's interested in that, that's what's going on this weekend, at least on Saturday. Lots of good things going on. And thanks for having me, Chris. My pleasure.
Thanks so much for being here. We'd like to have you back next Friday as well. We'll continue this. So it'll be a chain of music, a thread of music running through our days and weeks, keeping us all more alive and hopefully more aware.
This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, March 19th, 2010. Engineering is Todd Wilson. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer. Our special guest today was Trey Arrow, and I'm Leah Delta.
You've been hearing news and comment from Air Cascadia on KBOO, community radio at 90.7 FM in Portland. KBOO.fm on the web. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thanks so much, members.
Stay tuned now for Flashpoints. Michael Perini talks about his new book, God and His Demons.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support, and have a good day.
On Flashpoints, we'll speak to well-known author and radical political analyst Michael Parenti about his new book, and we'll speak with a Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate in New York. That's in the primary. I'm talking about Randy Credico. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. You are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. Again, we're honored to have Michael Parenti in the studio with us, an old friend of this show called Flashpoints. Michael's got many books under his belt, and God and His Demons is most recent. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the fierce and negative influences of God and the church. There is a lot to say about that. But, Michael, you know, we've got the president, Obama. He campaigned on anti-war platforms. I think we just did 7 years, or Saturday is going to be 7 years of this war in Iraq. People are going to be out in the streets again. Your take at this point?
Well, it was an extraordinary war. 7 years ago, we should point out that people around the world, all over the world, were demonstrating all through February against the impending U.S. intervention. I'd never seen people demonstrate against a war before the war actually started. They usually then, after the bombs are falling and people are getting killed, then they demonstrate. But there were people all over, from Japan to Indonesia to Finland, Lithuania, Mexico, and U.S., Australia. All around the world, people were demonstrating against this unwarranted, one-sided war, which was based on a pack of lies, not faulty information, not honestly misled, but deliberately planted disinformation and lies. So that was an extraordinary thing, and in such numbers. I mean, millions of people all around. So this war really does not have the people of the world on its side. And they took a country that had the highest standard of living in the Middle East, that was Iraq, and they've destroyed it, and they've destroyed millions of people, millions of lives. For every person who's been killed, there's about three or four whose lives have been shattered in other ways, either through bereavement and grief, or injury, or loss of hearth and home. So what's been accomplished? What has been accomplished? And what was left out by the media is no mention of the fact that Saddam Hussein, who was the excuse used to go in, that he was put in by the United States, that he was a creation of the United States, that at his most murderous and torturous days, the U.S. was supporting him and they loved him, and that the Iraqis did not need the Americans to come in and teach them about democracy. That is so patronizing.